Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Peace and life, family. Again, family, I am your host, Pimp Black, person in the making progress. This is the Vain Verde Podcast, here to get a game service where that cause change. I ain't certain, but with this truth, it gonna make all the pain worth it, y'all. Hope everybody doing and feeling good out tonight, and it's 24 days into this new year. Government still shut down. Another proposal has been made to the family, to the Senate. They all actually did some things today, earlier, where they was trying to, pass the bill, even with, getting some like a down payment for, you know, the wall or whatever. But both of those got denied again. As of right now, family, this slavery will continue. It will continue to further notice. Honestly, what is we doing? I mean, the government forcing people to work for free without pay. We've heard this before, right? This is also the American way, family. So don't get it confused on exactly what we're doing here. You know what I mean? Because we already know this is truly the American way. And you got to remember, man, because everybody, isn't nobody finding funny out of all the 800-plus thousand federal workers that they say are affected? Nobody in the initial government is actually affected. Like, the Senate still get paid, Congress still get paid, President them still get paid. Why not just stop their money and then pay them people, right? Why wouldn't you just stop the government's initial, the labor cost for them, and then pay your middle-class people, pay all these federal workers and TSA agents and shit like that, right? Because clearly this money is there. They argue about money for a damn wall, $5 billion for a wall. How about the money to pay these people for this whole month that they done been out of work or ain't been getting a paycheck? No restitution for that? How about it? And I almost ended up working for TSA too, y'all, if y'all can believe it. I really did almost end up working for TSA one day. Hey, been trying to do something else, man. I'm really feeling a little down right now, y'all. As most a lot of you may know, those know me personally, y'all. I mean, look, majority of y'all ain't even in the United States, so how you gonna know this? I had I guess you could say I'm kind of mourning the loss of one of my dogs. Now my daughter has two Pomeranians, they're sisters. My significant other, my better half, you know, she's had these. We've been together 5, almost 6 years. She's had these Pomeranians, you know, for 9 years, well, just about 10 years, so to speak. And the Pomeranian was sisters, you know, when she bought them. R.I.P. Well, I can't say R.I.P. I don't want to say all of it. But sincerely thinking about you, Prissy and Foxy. Anyway, like I've been, you know, stated on previous shows, you know, we've been just recently moved into a new location, into a new house, so in the midst of the travel, moving things, we had called a friend of the family over to, you know, just grab the dogs, and the dogs, I had them in the cage, and I put them in the back of this family member's, in the back of a truck. You know, just hold them to the dogs so we can go run to the storage, grab a couple more items, you know, come on back. You know, just hold the dogs for a couple hours. I'm sure a lot of you can always imagine where this is headed. Apparently, they took their dog, the cage, out of the back of the truck. The back of their vehicle, and, you know, sat it inside their garage. And I think it was said that the garage door was let open in some kind of way. One of the dogs ran out of the cage, man, and you know, got away. And another family member said that was an attempt to retrieve the dog, but of course the dog wasn't familiar with that family member, so it wasn't going to be no coming to him and all of that. Plus, you know, and I sent them somewhere that they wasn't really familiar with. They weren't familiar with the area, the house, you know, the landscaping, had that time to get around, sniff, leave their mark. So once they strayed away, it wasn't no real return. So it's been about 5-6 days now, and I gotta be honest, man. You know, I wasn't, because like I said, you know, I'm a guy. You know what I mean? The savage, like, you know, pit bulls, Rottweilers, always been my thing coming up. So, you know, coming again with her, and she has these two damn Pomeranians. I wasn't feeling them at first, but obviously over time, you know, you start to get closer and you develop a little bond with them, and I gotta be honest, it's been a hard couple of days for me because I've been, you know, I had grew attached, really grew attached to those, to the dogs over the last, you know, couple of years, 2 or 3 years or whatever. You know, I've been really close. They kind of turned into my dogs. So, you know, when this happened, you know what I mean? It hit me real hard a little bit, I'm gonna be honest, because I'm thinking about now, like, the dogs been so sheltered. You know, we domesticate these animals so much here in this country that I know this dog, and it's a Pomeranian at that, and I know she's not going to be able to fend for herself if she's out in the wild. And it's one of the things that then coming up in the hood, man, you know, coming up, how we came up, you know, we went through so many pit bulls and dogs and everything like that, and there, you know, there was never like a real attachment that we really had to them. You know, certain ones it was like, you know, my first real attachment was through my half pit bull, half mastiff Cujo, rest his soul, who I got tatted on my arm that I had to turn into the law one day. Have I ever told y'all that story about, you know? So, you know, I get that out of the way. Why not, right? We're doing, man, a little sip of this apple nectar here. So I had this, my dad, man. My dad brought me this puppy, right? I think I might have been, fuck shit, man, maybe... I was probably maybe 14, 15 years old, I guess. Well, maybe later than that. I've probably been 16 or 17, I guess. And, you know, he popped up one night. You know, he was in the city. My dad never, you know, really lived, you know, inside the city. But anyway, he popped up on us one night, and he had this puppy with him. Pitbull, man, he give me nothing. Matter of fact, I think he got a box out of his trunk. You know, and put it together, taped it up for me to put the dog in. And it was a slow build, man. And, you know, and I named him Cujo because that was one of my favorite movies, you know, coming up. You know, I mean, I was always into suspense and horror and shit like that. So Cujo, about the crazy ass dog, that's what I wanted. So I named him Cujo. And we began our mark, man. Me and Cujo had a lot. We had a lot of times, you know, that was my fucking dog, man. I love that dog. He was huge. He was half pit bull, brindle, you know. And dad was a pit bull and Tibetan mastiff mix. So he was massive, man. He was massive bully, right? Heavy, he was strong. How the landscape it was I was at my mother's house at the time. I didn't live there. I was already gone, but, you know, I was, you know, in the street. So, you know, we come back and, you know what I mean? I always come back, right? But anyway, how the landscaping of the house is, our yard, picture if you're standing on the back porch and looking at the backyard. The backyard goes straight back very long, let's say about, maybe 300-400 feet, 500-600 feet, maybe straight back or whatever. But how, if you could picture, if you're standing on a back porch or looking straight up, like you, if you was staring down, you know, just looking straight down the yard. And Cujo's doghouse sat all the way, you know, at the end of the, in the back, not necessarily toward the end, but right for the cutoff landmark where you get to the woods. But next, how long the backyard was, it was adjacent to two people's houses, you know, their backyard. So, like, if you, like, say you're making if you look it straight down, say you, if you're riding, you're making an H. So that line would cut off on the right side. There was actually two people's yards. Separated there, like, and one was a Caucasian family. They had like a you know, little shits, fucking basset hound. They had like a I don't know, just some little bullshit dogs, you know, typical Caucasian dog. No offense to anybody, but you know. And there was a black family next door to them that was also adjacent to the back of my yard. Or I guess you could say not necessarily parallel, but those two houses was parallel to each other, but more so a connector, so to speak, to my dog's back, my backyard. Now, the black family that stayed right next door to the Caucasian family, they had a female Rottweiler in the back of their yard. And at the time, she was in heat. Now, you can imagine what that's like. Now, my yard, again, is about 500 or 600 feet going straight back, probably 200-300 feet straight across. Cujo's house sat right in the middle. He had a 75-foot chain that I put him on because he was a big dog and I wanted to move around a little bit. But his chain, it actually stretched all the way to the end, all the way to, like, directly to the fence of the female Rottweiler. One morning I was over there, you know, I was working at the nightclub at the time. And, yes, I was working at the nightclub that young. Don't ask, don't tell, right? And I think I may have gotten there maybe 4 or 5 or some shit like that, you know, because it was kind of, I think I was using my mother's vehicle. That's what it was. I think I was probably using her vehicle, driving to the club, working at the club, and to come back so she could get to work. And I used to just sleep there all day or whatever, and then, you know, catch a ride out. Or just sometimes you just sleep till she get off, because that's how late usually it was. And, but anyway, I just remember the little kids of the black family, or it might have just been, you know, the little kids in the neighborhood or whatever. They was beating on the door, you know, saying your dog, you know, done got over the fence, got over the fence. So as I walked back into the back room, when I got up, I'm just hearing knocking on the door. So I didn't look out the back window. Now, where the room was, where I was sleeping in, I could look out the back window and actually see the backyard and see, you know, what Cujo's doing or whatever. But when I heard the door, I just got up, went to the door, and then having to walk back in the room to put, you know, my shoes on to see what the hell going on with Cujo, I looked out the back window then, and that's when I didn't see him, but I saw his chain going from his house all the way over like he had jumped the fence. So I'm like, oh, shit, man, this damn dog done jumped over this fence and got loose, and over there fighting their damn dog. Now, lo and behold, at the moment, I didn't know the dog was in heat. So I put my shoes on. By the time I make it around and make it all the way in the back, now I make it by, I really couldn't believe the sight. I looked over, Cujo had the Rottweiler. He was locked on her neck. Like, you know, with his jaw had a lock grip on her neck and had her pinned down, and she was pinned down in a way to where her, you know, her ass was up in the air, so to speak. And while he locked on her neck, he's humping away. Yes, family, I witnessed a fucking animal Me Too moment. Now, the adults of the black family, I don't think they were home at the time. And by that time, I guess it had been going on for a minute with him, them two out there, because by this time, the Caucasian lady's family, she actually called the animal control because they didn't know if I was there. They know my mom didn't, you know, deal with the dog. So whenever I was over there, I just, you know, usually had to deal with him. And by that time, you know, she, you know, in that situation, was nothing she could do. Because they used to, her and her husband, you know, got rid of both of their soul. I think they're actually dead now. And it's been so many years. But, you know, they used to put food over, you know, for them and stuff. Sometimes, you know, when I couldn't make it, you know, down to my mom's house in a couple of days, they'll put food out for them. You know, things like that. You know what I mean? And I used to appreciate that because he was a big dog. And, you know, I used to feed him, you know, raw food. To leftovers, table food, raw food, things like that, not just, you know, strictly a dog food diet, because he was his body was able to contain it and break it all down. But when I made it back there to that fence, family, and I saw that condition of the dogs, you know what I mean? Of course, I just grabbed the stick and started hitting with the stick. And this is when I learned an awesome trick, family, that separated him. Because by that time, he's locked. Now, he's locked on a jaw, and he's locked, you know, doing what they're in their natural business. And, yeah, man, so the lady, you know, she had called Animal Control, and by the time Animal Control had came, the fact that they're there, I had, you know, poured water on them, on Cujo, and pulled them back over the fence. When I poured the water on that, you know, immediately changed some cold water, that immediately. So that's a little tip for everybody out there. Y'all got dogs out there fighting, and they don't, you know what I mean, won't get right. Turn the water hose on. You don't have to beat them. You don't have to do all of that, man. Just put spray them with water. That's going to hit the reset button instantly. You got dogs locked in, they've been fucking, don't supposed to have been fucking or whatever, you trying to stop it, spray their ass with the water hose. That's literally the reset button for dogs. But anyway, once I did that, you know, the animal control had made it, and because they came out, even though I had them under control now, they still had to produce, you know, the paperwork and all of that, man. And y'all, man, look, I'm a nigga, man. You know, once we get them and take them to the vet that first time, especially with big, large breed dogs, man, we don't go back. So it was, I had to go to court, actually, because the Rottweiler ended up dying. And the animal control guy, man, gave me a subpoena, you know, for not being able to produce the paperwork. They didn't, luckily, fortunately, they didn't charge me or anything for the loss of, you know, the neighbor's dog, because they treated that as a natural, you know, thing, right? You know, as a natural, you know, occurrence, and like I sick the dog on or anything like that. So that wasn't, but because I didn't have his paperwork, up to date, shot workers and things like that, man. The judge was a real asshole. Like, I didn't even know this shit was that serious, man. Like, who fuck go to court for dogs and shit, right? I didn't know it was that serious, right? But it was before I, you know, got into more studying and breeding and you know, running the kennel, things like that. But I went to court, man. The judge gave me 2 weeks to return to hear me 2 weeks, either return back to court on this date, produce those shot records, all that information. And like I said, y'all, I had Cujo for years by then at the time. And there was no way, I didn't even know where the hell I took him, or let alone anything like that. Or even if wherever I took him, whoever had him, still had that information in their records. So, you know, that shit was a lost cause, man. And my stipulation was to produce all of that paperwork on him, or turn him into the Humane Society. Basically, when I went back to court, I didn't have, wasn't able to get that, man. So he gave me like 3 days to turn Cujo into the Humane Society, where he was ultimately gonna be put to death, because, like I said, by that time he was a 3-4 year old pit bull. Mastiff mix, you know what I'm saying? There was no adoption for him at that point, because so all they could do, man, is just put him to sleep, you know? So, and then, like, you know, that was a big thing for me. I feel like I turned my dog in for murder and rape, man, you know? And he was like, he took a bullet for me. He took that for me, you know? I don't know what I could have did. It really wasn't going to go any other way. But, you know, when you develop a close bond, you know, them dogs, man, they become like family members, man. I get it. You know what I'm saying? I get it. But been searching for Prissy, you know, my Pomeranian, and my daughter's taking it hard. Of course, Missus taking it hard. You know, I'm starting to get it, you know, take it hard myself. But, I'm, you know, lately, because it's been a few days now, I don't put the past behind me. Now, where we live, we moved out, like, in this rural area to the country, damn near country town, like, and it's a lot of wildlife and shit here. I'm talking about a lot of big-ass crows and all type of shit be running out of the woods around here. So I'm just hoping and praying that, you know, at least, you know, maybe somebody picked her up, and she's in a good, stable, safe home, and they treat her all right. As opposed to being, you know, just out here, man, because it's cold and she ain't used to it. And I know 5 or 6 days later, Prissy might not be here with us anymore. So that's probably why I keep saying, rest in peace, Prissy, you know. But I love you, Prissy. Wherever you at out there, you be careful, baby. Take care of yourself. All right, family. We're going to take a little break for a second. We're going to take a little break, then we're going to get into why we're here. Topic of the night, hashtag reform. Meantime, here's
what's happening, bro?
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, we're going to fuck this out,
my
man.
A part of the Taliban, dipping your set. Shoot you in your head while you wear your Teflon vest. And I bet you be dead way before sunset. You know, little Quizzy Quizzle, yes. I'm that nigga. Yes. Big bomber crack, keep cushion the switcher. Three time filling, but I still total pistol. Yeah. $250 bill, bill, hey, got some milk. Paper test, a nigga. Yeah, I'm on my grind. Right. Fuck up bitches like we need money on my mind. Yeah. The young nigga caked up.
You hear me? You been hunching on girls since the kindergarten. Can you dig that? You feel me? For real, man, I'm hell.
Hey, hold on, y'all, nigga.
What's going on, bro?
Don't make me just get up out this motherfucker like that, man. Nigga, you finna give me some of that exclusive shit, nigga.
Oh, you want some of that exclusive shit?
Hey, look, I need that back, nigga. I ain't trying to get you nigga.
I got a shotgun sawed off. One shot go off. Watch your brain hit the ass ball. You asked for it. Put you on your ass, home. And I don't want a man. No, but I do rock polo. From the hat to the skipper. Dipping on some chrome lip slippers. Feeling the lips of a stripper. She know I'm a whipper. That's cars and bankroll getter. Nigga, no car with a bankroll, nigga. I'ma pull your bitch more quicker. 50 slicker. Most nigga know I do the trigger. But I don't taste no hoe or liquor. You a twisty nigga. Came out of an eat it for breakfast. Why Queezy Queen came out of a C-section. Born to rap it. That's zone 3. Call my home gangster ever since. Back in 83 original. My 40 got a little too scoping. Only aim for your head and throat. I'm no joke for you. No hope. Your mama in the all black. And her dress is dope. And that nigga by a rope. Yeah. I'm a joyless grandson. And I got plenty of bodies on my handgun. Kill your man, hun. Queen. He number one. I'm like Ox when I kill for fun. My pot filled with a 31. That's residue. All the 22 brick and flip the whole avenue. Y'all nigga paying 14 for a deuce. And you're not even getting the whole 62. Taxing fools. Hey, dude, I wax your boo. She do the do and her head was ooh. Young Quizzy get the bitches nauseous and get more ass than Tony. The flow is retarded. And Quizzy's in a dictionary. When I whip out my dick on the whole get scary. Yeah, I don't wanna fuck your mom. Just suck on my dick and send it home.
Hey, niggas gon' have to know what time it is, Quizzy.
I'm telling you, bro.
You know what I'm saying? Nigga, I fucks with the country.
Oh, bro, you know we go west the long way,
you
man. It's such
about
a strong motherfucker way.
Straight up, man. Blackadelic Entertainment.
Plus the
life,
paper
nigga.
Chase the label,
nigga.
Still
vision of Dirty Birds, nigga.
Yeah.
I don't know who he is, nigga.
Yeah.
Okay, family. We back at it, right? Hashtag reform, order of business, right? Rap icon, Jay-Z, superstar Meek Mill, New England Patriots owner, Robert Kraft, Philadelphia 76ers owner, Michael Rubin, the Brooklyn Nets co-owner, Clara Wu Tsai, I think that's how you say her name. Van Jones, you know, CNN commentator. They all join forces in a true Avengers niche to combat and advance criminal justice reform, as well as to ultimately eliminate outdated laws that perpetuated injustice, starting with probation and parole. One of their many goals is to free about 1 million prisoners in 3 years. Again, they want to combat and advance criminal justice reform, as well as to ultimately eliminate outdated laws that perpetuated injustice, starting with probation and parole, to eventually free about 1 million inmates over the next 3 years. You know, the thing that get me feeling, I say these things, and, you know, it's the Vain Verdict podcast, man. Well, it ain't going to be nothing but the truth. I don't care how you take it. See, the thing is, what I love about my position in here, right? You know, I like to look at it as it's my position to just put the information out there. How you take it and what you do with it is entirely up to you. It's how I live my life as well, family. No regrets. How the fuck can we fix a system that was never designed for us in the first place? I'm talking to minorities, family. More specifically, I'm talking to my black brothers and sisters. I'm talking to Meek Mill. I'm talking to Jay-Z. See, there's many layers I can go with this shit, right? Now, I understand, like, a lot of the guy. Okay, now, first and foremost, about the whole thing that they're doing, I salute it. Because these actually could be steps toward, you know, a true judiciary revamp, you know what I mean, of what's going on. But see, we have to understand how big that machine is, how big that crap game is. So before we go thinking we're going to be reforming the criminal justice system and are freeing all these inmates, we have to look at the variables on every side of the equation, family. Who's benefiting by them being there? You know, we're building more prisons for a reason. Like, we have to understand there's a reason why prison is still big business in this country. There's a reason why more prisons are getting built. I mean, you don't build a hotel unless you expect occupancy, right? I mean, that's just a known fact. There's no way you can build a hotel unless you're really expecting some occupancy. So they ain't building these prisons knowing that nobody's coming to them, right? One thing I know how prisons work. Do y'all know this? When prisons work, right, they're called federal prisons, meaning when it's federal in front of it, it's usually ran by the banks, corporations, and or the government. That's anything with the federal in front of it. Example, FBI, they don't consider technically the FBI as part of the government. They consider them their own branch of government. Why? Because FBI are funded by the banking system. Purpose of the FBI was initially, you know, they look out to protect the dollar. You know what a better business bureau is? Because America is only a corporation, family. It's only business. And you can't go against the entire crap game. See, black people were the first stock and bonds in this country. When you came over here as slaves, that's where we were. And we lined up on Wall Street. I'm not going to go into that again because I've touched on that quite a few times. But you know, when we got over here, you know, we were the first stocks, you know, slave trade. We lined up Wall Street. You know, and then when they freed slaves, when America started to become industrial, right? Industrial period, sometime after slavery and after the Civil War and all of that. Most of them looked at it like, man, we about to have all these free-ass slaves, right? Now, see, they freed it, but they ain't getting no job, no opportunity, no land anyway. So what are you going to do? You're going to have to steal in order to make a living, unless you're just coming straight to work for, come back to work for the white man. But you got your independence. So even when they put it in, they wrote it in there, you know what I mean? Nobody is slave or slavery is abolished. Unless you commit a crime, right? So they make it easier for, back then they made it easier for them to commit crime. Because think about it, after the Civil War, it wasn't no goddamn prisons everywhere. It wasn't no prison industrial complex, because after that, it wasn't no prisons like that everywhere. So they looked at it like on a business standpoint, right? Shit, we about to have all of these free niggas running around here. And slavery done got free because of this industrial complex shit. But we know these motherfuckers ain't got no money. They got nothing, no education, nothing like that. So they gonna have to turn to crime. You take anything from anybody, they gonna, you know what I mean, do what they gotta do to survive. You did the same shit with an animal. You could teach them how to eat out of bowl all day, but if ain't nothing but loose food running around that motherfucker, you think he gonna wait for somebody to put a bowl in his face? Not at all. So what they did is created what they call, I think, when they started doing this, so they started arresting black people for petty crime. Maybe criminal, because again, the Constitution said, because now they can do this shit without being penalized. So the Constitution said, all I had to do is say you committed a crime. That's how lynching and all of that shit was still going on. They still lynching free men, because they all used to call you a criminal. And what's making you a criminal? Being outside past curfew, jaywalking, literally, and all of that shit made you an instant criminal, meaning you made sent you right back to chain gang. And they still prisons like right now to this day, like Angola down there, I think Louisiana. Niggas still chain gang with a white man overseer on the back of a goddamn horse. And they still got motherfuckers out there picking cotton. To this day. But those were the crime, but see what it'll happen. Think about it. We didn't have the guns, we didn't have the drugs, none of that shit, right? Slavery was abolished in 1865. Again, y'all, a lot of this shit is new. I'm giving y'all a brief, real brief history version of it. Slavery was abolished in 1865, right? Think about just only 30, 40, 50 years after that. Who was committing all the crime in this country during the 1910s and 1920s and shit like that? Who was doing the robbing, the murdering, all the gambling? Who was doing the pimping? Those were your white Eurocentric gangsters. Remember the mob? The mafia? The motherfuckers? until the 1940s, because they were considered the outlaws in the gangsters. Then the 1940s hit. You know, they allow these white motherfuckers because they start calling, they now they have identity. Now they, because they're not just Eurocentric, your Italian and your Irish motherfuckers, they became, they were still classified as non-whites until the 1940s. And that's when you motherfuckers got to step up. Step up and be, literally be the lower class niggas. Because now, they got to demean you to that point. They have to limit you of those resources. So they sent, they gave your Italians, let them be, you know, gave them the fire department. And y'all, your Eurocentric motherfuckers, they still got the self-service judges, policemen, you know, all that shit there. And that ultimately makes you an inmate, right? That makes you a criminal. You were never even a man. You weren't even a man. Like, that's why it killed me about y'all, y'all marching ass niggas, man. Let me tell y'all something. I salute again. So my bed, I said that I went through the history for a reason, because I want y'all to understand the pattern here. Like, there's nothing that's going on out here, family, that wasn't always, that isn't designed or have a premotion. They will never let you rise up. They will never let y'all be better than. Like, we're not even thinking about the shit, you know, further into it. When these million motherfuckers get out, where they going? Besides back to jail, if ain't no opportunities for them. And half of the guys locked up ain't enough for nonviolent offenses. The majority of us in there for being broke. Half of us in there for being broke, nonviolent offenses. And it's you guys get over sentenced. Why would that change? Now, what incentive do they have to change now? And again, that's why I ask, like, reform, because what happens? Like, why would a company hire you for all the money you want when they can just, you know, get that shit manufactured at these prisons for 17 cents an hour? Slave pay, or indentured servants, I should say, salary. Because there is an indentured service salary. And that's pretty much what it is, right? So my final thought on, do we need criminal justice reform? Yes, but not in the way y'all thinking. Not in, I don't think we need it in the manner, you know, a lot of us are thinking. We need total government reform, family. Because the system was never designed to treat you equally. This system was never designed to treat you fairly. This system was never designed to give you a level equal playing field. The system is doing exactly what it's been doing since the Hoar Fathers signed the Declaration of Independence, or whatever the fuck that is, Constitution and all of that shit. You were slaves then, and you were slaves now. They just progressed in the manner of slavery. The plantations have only progressed. Technologies have jumped into it. I don't think fix the system, fam. I think we need to get out of the system altogether. Fuck criminal justice reform. We need revolution, fam. Tell you something. Separation looking more and more and more like the order of the day, fam. A real reset button have to be hit at this point. Cause like, comedian brother DL, who to say? Barack Obama is who we aspire to be. But Donald Trump is who we are, family. Take that and do what you want to do with it. Before I before we get into anything, let me shout out to the sponsors, man. We'll get to the sponsors in a minute. Gotta show love to the family, man. It's an important thing. You're always showing love right here, right? And that was about. So on this, gotta take it somewhere. Somebody gonna hear the truth and do something with it, right? But in the meantime, here's Getaway. Tim Black featuring my sister Trill.
Talking about getting to a point where you can just get away from it all, you know what I mean? Fuck with it, baby. Yeah.
I wanna go where I can be free, to a place where I can be me. I wanna feel that ease, I wanna feel every breeze in the leaves. I wanna blow like a leaf in the trees. Are you going my way?
I wanna go on the coast, let's have a toast. You be doing the most, I am living.
Yeah.
I wonder, would you ever know what it was worth if you can send me on a getaway?
Forever, so for the time left, I think we should quit it together. Let's finish this letter, let's end it whenever. And let's reflect on all the days we didn't get the treasure. And so for any countless effort or attempt that I ever get to this level, I see forever is them. But know my method is simple. I recollect what I spent and I recollect where we've been through. You know I'm better than them. I see myself in the mirror, the picture is getting vivid. Cause fitting it how I'm living, just reconstructing my image. I know people are dizzy. If they don't feel it, they get it. Our lovers will let you down if they don't share the same vision. I get it. Earth is a prison, perpetuation aside. We keep us in position where we ain't made to survive. Or is it the fate that hold us or made it control us over? I don't know. But I'm focused because I know what she told me. She said,
I wanna go where I can be free. To a place where I can be me. I wanna feel that ease. I wanna feel every breeze in the leaves. I wanna blow like the leaves in the trees. Are you going my way?
I wanna go on the coast. Let's have a toast. You'll be doing the most. I am living.
I wonder, would you ever know what it's worth if you can send me on a getaway?
No ghost stories, nothing but the sunshine. No snow flurries, the rain don't exist. The pain it inflicts causes pain, so we remain in the abyss. So when the shame is a myth, and we are who we are, but where came it is? That's why I can do the blame when you pissing. That ain't even it. I say I can be the aim when you pissing. I'm for sure to knock that thing over the fence. Say my name when we kiss. Tell me you love me. I know niggas ain't shit, but baby, tell me you trust me. Don't tell me I'm complacent. Don't tell me I'm too jaded. Just tell me that it's real. In fact, real is an understatement. Just tell me that you feel it when I make them little statements. Like you don't know where it's going. You just hope that you can take it. Just know the truth from fake shit. And know that we can make it. Hopefully it's favorite. Close your eyes and pray for this vacation. All I heard of say was,
I wanna go where I can be free. To a place where I can be me. I wanna feel that ease. I wanna feel every breeze in the leaves. I wanna blow like the leaves in the trees. Are you going my way?
I wanna go on the coast. Let's have a toast. You'll be doing the most. I am living.
I wonder, would you ever know what it's worth if you can send me on a getaway? Get away.
And when you see us cheating, ain't no turning back down, because we ain't coming down, baby. Baby, we up. Baby, we up.
PFG them. Ain't no turning back down because we ain't coming down, baby. Baby, 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 baby.
The Fame Verdict Podcast.
Okay, family, we back at it again. That was Getaway. Myself featuring my homegirl Trill. You can check that out on Welcome to Black World Volume 1 as well. That'll be on Spinrilla/Welcome to Black World. I want to share something. We're wrapping up on this criminal justice reform. Some young lady had from Australia. Actually had posted, and I found it real interesting because when I released the flyer, it was something that she had posted, and I told her I wanted to read that and share it, right? And I'm going to read that for you. Caller, I see you, caller. I'm going to get you in 1 second. This is for Buffy H. Y'all go follow Buffy H on the ground. Buffy H says, "Hear, hear. Australia needs this. In some Aboriginal missions and communities, colonial and federal established separate areas for the people who should be protected and upheld as the oldest Homo sapiens on Earth. The first light, first people of the first country. 90% of black males are in prison. My partner calls it the second, calls it his second home, aka Gaul, because his family is there, and that's where he's been for nearly half of his life. He's only 34. When he says his family is there, he means it. His nieces, nephews, brothers, and uncles put in and out of prison and made to check in for parole every day with no money, transport, or cars to get them to the police station. This is in rural and remote communities. And so if they don't report daily, they are put back in the Gaul, into jail with no court, no set time. Many Aboriginal males have been criminalized since about age 11 and then constantly thrown back in and out of jail and then battling poverty, addiction, and post-traumatic stress disorder. Help people who need the help and get this back on track. My country makes me weep, and most people don't want to know or turn a blind eye. They don't want our people to thrive or survive. Genocide is still happening in our country against the people who are actually from here. The United Nations has recognized the ongoing genocide against our people. Genocide includes systematic, ongoing destruction of a culture." Now, family, this is from a young lady over in Australia. This is from Bonnie, a psychologist in Australia. That sounds so familiar. Isn't this exactly what we're going through over here? Also, is the minority clan here?
Yes. How you doing, sir?
Can you hear me loud and clear? I can hear you loud and clear. Singapore.
Yeah, this is Mike from Singapore. You know, you said that right now in United States, I'm American like you also, the question is, you know, I wish Martin Luther King was President of the United States. You would see everything is smooth in this system. Unfortunately, we have Donald Trump, who doesn't give a fuck about me and you or anybody else. Only he said, "Oh, did he not say he's a very nice negotiator? Is this the nice negotiator that over 1 million people out of job right now, from TSA to, ITs from the Pentagon? You know, they found over right now thousands security holes in our Pentagon. And what the system does, keep printing checks for $1 billion, and then it stops and keep check printing check. Where this billion of dollar money goes to? Anyway,
exactly.
They haven't done anything. And then we have fined 400 security right now. Security holes into the IRS because IT department is locked down. They said no money. I mean, they said they're unessential. So this is what happened. I mean, this is what happens when we don't have security forces, that even Trump is scared to death to give his freaking speech in House of Congress.
So
can you not see what the problem are?
So true.
We
so
have
true,
still
man.
Genocide in United States, my friend. We have genocide. We have upwheel. We have poverty. And you see, I mean, Andrew Yang, he for United States president. Why? Because he wants, to give universal basic income, $1,000 to everybody without any attachment. And if you don't want that $1,000, you can say, okay, give it to my neighbor or give it to my brother. My brother may need more than me. And they give it to your brother, $2,000. And already he's experimenting. Many people wrote to him. To Andrew Yang, Yang, YANG2020.com. Please go there. You'll see a lot of information. And right now he's testing his universal basic income. Right now he already got 10 people. Give them $1,000 from his own pocket right now for the next 12 months. And he wants to see if their life is improved, or because there are people, wrote to him. They say we are in very bad shape. What this? So he selected 10 people already. So he's doing it, and then he wants to give free Medicare for everybody, and then on top of it, he wants to give free education to everybody. I mean, not Cortesia and Cortes. Everybody will be supporting it, but the question is, do we have ear to hear things or not? That's our problem, my friend.
That's the thing, right? A lot of us are blind to the fact that we're so comfortable and settled with the way things are going. But I want you to give me, what's that site again? Because I like a lot of me. I want to check that out myself. A lot of my listeners check it out.
www.y like yellow, A as apple, N as November, G as a golf, number two zero.com. Miss 2020. YANG2020.com.
Gotcha.
And your people can write to him too if they have difficulties, and maybe he wants to select more people to give them universal basic income for the next 12 months. So anybody can write to him with their stories. Maybe he pick up more. If he pick up already 10, I mean, maybe he wants to experiment more so he can show. Do you know why he wants to do that? Because of we are going to be robots in Amazon, robots in car making, robots for hamburger making, and also even taking the orders will be robot. No more McDonald's. You cannot even find a job in McDonald's, my friend. So therefore.
Yeah.
So what you do? I mean, you want to be still Trump to be president? My gosh, it's going to. I mean, right now we are blink of the civil war in the United States, unfortunately.
Oh, wow, you think so?
Yes, because of racism, because genocide still is happening, police shooting. I mean, then we put the finger into the ass of Venezuela, my friend. And
yes,
we
sir.
Say, Venezuela must elected president must go. No, if it's that, Trump must go first.
Facts. Agree. Well, I sure appreciate you calling in, Mike, man. Thanks for the information, bro.
Okay. Thank you, sir, right. My friend. God bless you.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for your
God
bless you,
bro.
Yes, sir.
God bless you.
That salute to Mike, man, and all my listeners calling in. I want to try to get to one more before we get out of here. Yeah, don't look like I'm going to have time. So, yeah, y'all, trust me, y'all can rewind back, check that information out. I'm going to definitely go check out because I want to check out that information. Again, it's www.yang2020.com, www.yang2020.com. And we're going to check that out, man, and see what we can pull up about that. I really want to see what's going on with that, man. Look, America, we got to do better, family. We getting laughed at across the nation, but hey, I guess Babylon may fall at some point, right? That's what they say, at least. Y'all make sure y'all check out Salute to my sponsor, Offer Blessed Creations. Y'all go follow him. Salute to Mega Brothers Clothing and my good flavor, Chris Smith Multimedia.weebly.com. Y'all check them out. It's your boy, Film Black, President of Making Progress, the Vane Verde Podcast.
BlogTalkRadio.com/TheVaneVerde. Follow us on all social media platforms to stay in tune with all upcoming episodes. Facebook at The Vane Verde. Twitter at The Vane Verde. Instagram, The_Vane_Verde. Google Plus at The Vane Verde. Skype, Vane Verde. For all sponsorship inquiries and all show ideas inquiries, you can email us at thevaneverdict@gmail.com. Again, thevaneverdict@gmail.com. All love and support is greatly appreciated. GoFundMe.com/thevaneverdictpodcast or PayPal me at thevaneverdict. Peace and light, family.
The Vane Verdict Podcast.